Mathematics, the Master Science 251. 4. Hardly a proper subject for relativity, but must be regarded rather as a lapse of quality. In other words, it is an interval which exists without distance, since distance cannot exist unless both objects under consideration occupy place. To attempt to establish distance between these two opposites of quality represented by spirit and matter would be like standing in a certain spot and asking the question, how far is it from here to everywhere? The correct answer, as far as here is less than everywhere, is almost as baffling to the faculties of comprehension as the question. Such an interval can only be properly surveyed and subdivided by one fortunate enough to possess the fourth dimensional consciousness, which would enable him to travel through the quality interval with the same facility that we pass through the place interval. The popular fallacy that God dwells in the furthermost angle of the heavens and must be hemmed in triple fortissimo arises from the Zion limitations of human consciousness, for the mind untrained in abstractions confuses the interval of quality with the interval of distance. The mind concludes that if evil be near, good its opposite consequently must be far removed, and the distance between them can be estimated by a highly spiritualized yardstick. Thus distance may be defined as the interval between two given bodies, places, incidents, or conditions. The methods employed to measure these intervals differ, according to the nature of the intervals themselves. For example, the interval between bodies or places may be estimated by the arbitrary standards of distance, the interval between incidents by the arbitrary standards of time, and the interval between conditions by the arbitrary standards of quality. When limited to the interval between physical objects or places, distance can be calculated with reasonable accuracy, for men have established finite laws of measurement by common agreement. Such methods of computation, however, are wholly inadequate in almost unexplored spheres of consciousness and mind, concerning the natures of which most men differ widely one from the other. 252 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. It has been said that the philosopher may travel around the world while seated on his own hearthstone, for thought annihilates the interval of distance. A man thinks of China and behold, he is in China, for he must always dwell in the midst of his own thoughts. But with what subtle instruments shall we measure the wide interval through which thought sped in its instantaneous passage to Cathay? Certainly the tape is not made that meets the need. Again, realization eliminates the intervals in consciousness, for through realization the one realizing becomes identical with the thing realized, and thus spans the superphysical interval between the self and the not-self. Into this interval self is ceaselessly flowing, and by the gradual elimination of this qualitative interval the fractional part ever mingles itself more completely with the whole. Nirvana may be defined as the ultimate annihilation of every interval of quality, for it marks the point to which the lesser self has been caused to approach, and finally to be merged with its ultimate goal, the greater self. Mathematics enables the investigator of the abstract verities of the philosophic sphere to organize his findings and present them intelligently to a world so limited in consciousness that it is incapable of imagining conditions apart from place, or in intervals unmeasurable in terms of distance. In presenting any abstract reality for consideration by the concrete faculties, some thing must necessarily be lost, for truth cannot be brought down to the level of ignorance without the element of ignorer, and entering into the equation and thereby detracting from the integrity of truth. Mathematics, however, offers a medium whereby such pollution is reduced to a minimum. 4x. Ample, it would be highly ridiculous to attempt to estimate in terms of physical distance how far life is from death, heaven from hell, or opinion from fact. Recognizing that the law of generation works through the principle of opposites, it is nevertheless a justifiable assumption that the total interval between two opposites is equivalent to unity, or the one. This totality is then capable of being reduced to halves, quarters, and other forms of division. The numbers will then represent concatenated degrees of quality, and a definite scale is thereby established which will permit the various forms manifesting these qualities to be accurately determined in relation to the scheme through which they are moving. Thus, while it is difficult to compute the distance between growth and decay, maturity may be fixed as the half-way point. The evolution of human consciousness may be measured in a similar way, for the entire interval between unconsciousness and consciousness can be conceived of as divisible into thirds. The first division confers no realization beyond the limitations of place, the second no realization beyond the limitations of interval, and the third no realization beyond the limitations of quality. By such mathematical procedure it is possible to determine the age of a soul, for the interval between beginning and end, being understood as a wholeness, the position of the manifesting life at any given time may be determined by the degree of its own quality in relation to the total privation of that quality which was its source and the fullness of that quality which is its ultimate. Philosophy employs such terms as young souls and old souls. A young soul is one who in quality is more proximate to source than to ultimate, or in whom the degree of privation of a given quality exceeds the amount of the quality itself. If there is more of the absence of a quality present than there is of the quality itself, then the quality is declared to be negative. If the reverse is true, the quality is declared to be positive. Using 100% to represent the sum total of the interval between any two conditions or states, the relative perfection of a life in the plan of progress is determined by the proportion its position bears to the total interval. Thus, an individual manifesting 90% of a certain quality is 9/10 of the way across the interval that lies between the total privation and the fullness of that quality. To summarize, the intervals of quality, in common with the calculations of all superphysical elements, must be established upon the basis of totality or wholeness, and growth or change is always computed as a percentage of that. Mathematics, the Master Science 253. 254 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Basis. Hence, in calculating spiritual progress, each of us must calculate it in terms of fractions, parts, or percentages as related to the wholeness of being. At this point it may not be out of place to reproduce Proclus' encomium to the science of mathematics. Hence, the business of this science is apparent from its name, for it moves knowledge, excites intelligence, purifies the dianoetic part, unfolds the forms which we essentially contain, removes the oblivion and ignorance which we possess from generation, and dissolves the bonds with which we are held in captivity by an irrational nature. And all this it effects according to a real similitude of that divinity, Mercury, who leads into light intellectual gifts, fills all things with divine reason, moves souls to intellect, excites them as from a profound sleep, converts them by inquiry to themselves, perfects them through obstetrication, and through the invention of pure intellect conducts them to a blessed life. In the Platonic theory of converging nullities is revealed a strange doctrine concerning negative affirmations and affirmative negations. The number 1 is a positive affirmative number. In that it sets forth in unequivocal terms certain divinatory buttes of reality, namely, unity, inclusiveness, priority, and stability. On the other hand, we may have a negative statement. As God is no thing. This is an affirmative negation in that no thing exceeds thing in the quality of excellence, for the removal of a definite state leaves an indefinite state partaking more perfectly of divine qualities. Whereas the one is similar to the nature of divinity, the two is dissimilar in that it is the symbol of contraries and separation. Hence, while divinity can be defined affirmatively by the one, it must be defined negatively by the two, for God is like the one and unlike the two. In other words, numbers define deity negatively, number, affirmatively. The numbers, consequently, are negative affirmations. And deity is defined negatively by every form in the universe. For forms resemble deity in their unity and differ from deity in their diversity. Mathematics, the Master Science 255. An affirmation is a definite declaration of opinion, belief or attitude, and, if true, inclines toward and becomes identical with truth. If the affirmation be false, however, it retires from truth as though abashed, thus negatively affirming truth by declaring itself to be dissimilar. A negation is an affirmation through denial, and is the only method by which the absolute may be approached. When the negation verges toward the thing negated, it nullifies its negative correspondences in that thing, so only that which is remains. Thus affirmatives give definition by investing power with place, condition, and quality. While negatives, by divesting the absolute of these defining limitations, restore it to the estate of supreme dignity. In this manner is created the paradox that affirmations pertaining to first cause are negations, and negations are affirmations. Theological systems founded upon the premise of an anthropomorphic deity assume duality to be ultimate and therefore invest the two with a dignity superior to the one, which is a concept platonically unsound. The two is the symbol of good and evil, and the entire illusion of sequences has its foundation in the duad, the monad of diversity. According to the Pythagoreans, the two is an evil or unholy number because it is the archetype of separateness and produces from itself a dual stand. Ard, which is now accepted as the manifestation of a dual creative principle. Thus we are given a key to the intrinsic natures of good and evil, for good continually inclines toward unity or wholeness, and being ever the same amalgamates with everything good, so that diversity can never exist therein. Evil, on the other hand, is widely diversified and may exist in many conditions or states, all of which are irreconcilable not only to good but also to each other. While the body of good is always a unity, the body of evil is always a diversity, for evil does not coordinate with itself. For example, a virtue is good, and the manifestation of virtue produces an action to which the nature of good is intrinsic. Blending with the ever-existing good, the good act becomes a part thereof, thereby enriching, strengthening, and increasing the entire body of good. Conversely, a vice is evil and must remain as an isolated activity.